Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the thing that we're talking about tonight is knowing your place. And the first point we'll look at is you need to pray publicly. In Matthew chapter 18, the Lord's been talking to his disciples about how it is that you deal with a sinning brother. But he says something interesting in verses 19 and 20. He says in verse 19, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." Listen, I know that sometimes we get nervous about praying in front of people. Prayer to the Lord is prayer to the Lord. It's not prayer to your people that are sitting around you. You might want to impress somebody, but that's not really the prayer that God wants you to pray. He wants you to pray from the heart. But, and I think most of us are probably past that. Some people still get kind of nervous, but he says something really neat here. He says, where two of you are agreeing on earth, causes something of a response from the Lord. And that is that there's going to be a promise that's going to be released. When you agree on earth, tonight, when we pray for Sean's mom, Peggy, the aortic aneurysm, and Wayne and his hearing, and all these other prayers, the salvations of people, right? Listen, when we're agreeing in prayer, Lord, I agree with that. When you say amen, you're saying, I agree with that. That truth has been stated. I agree with that. He says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. We live in a world and in a culture and in a time where the church has gone and perverted scriptures like this and said, whatever you name it and claim it, you know, just go for it. And this is not what he's talking about. Again, the context, truly, we're applying a principle. The context is a sinning brother. When you go and you confront them, he just went out and laid out that you go one and then two or three, and then you go with the church leadership. But, and he says, and I'm going to honor that when you agree. But the principle is you pray publicly over things. This is what he's saying. When you two agree on this, when you two or three, if there's more, I want you to understand that my Father in heaven is going to be answering that prayer. He goes on. And he gives another promise. What other promise? What happens when we pray corporately like we're going to do tonight? Not only will he say, if you agree about these things, if you agree in the Spirit, he says, my Father's going to answer it. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So what's our other promise? If there's two or three, well, we've already got more than two or three. And God says, listen, if you two or three or more pray, I'm right there in your midst. That's a pretty good promise. That's a pretty powerful promise, especially when you're going into corporate prayer. God, are you really here? Yeah, I'm absolutely here, is what he's saying. You can be confident. You can take this to the bank. You just got my promise. And so tonight we can pray with that confidence. God, I know you're here. And I'm going to, and he's saying, I'm going to listen to you, and my Father's going to answer you. Turn over to Acts chapter 12. Not only is there a promise released, but there's also a power that's released. In Acts chapter 12, verse 12. Again, the point is you need to be praying publicly. We need to know our place. Pray publicly. Pray corporately. Gather together. Lift up prayer requests. We have a women's prayer, right? They meet once a month. Women should be coming out to that and praying. Women are the ones who pray in the church anyways, right? They're the ones who have the prayer meetings. They're the ones who show up, generally speaking. But what does Paul say to Timothy? Let men lift up holy hands, right? There's some sort of special anointing that falls on men when they start praying, like powerful. It was a joke. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. It says, so when he had considered this, okay, the backstory on this, Peter was sent to prison. All of a sudden, he's released miraculously, right? And he comes to the door. There are a group of people that were praying for him. And so he knocks on the door. Rhoda answers the door, and she's like, oh, it's, you know, must be an angel. And they're like, oh, it's no big deal. It's just an angel. Like, that's commonplace for them. But it was really Peter. So the thing that I want you to see is that there are people who are gathered together in this first century, and they're praying. And it says in verse 12, so when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many We're gathered together praying. So we need to understand that there is great power that comes from corporate prayer. So much so that this man who was in prison, Peter the apostle, was released miraculously. One pastor said it this way, and I like this. He said, may we not merely beseech the Lord, but may we also besiege him also. Like, not just beg him, but then just bombard him with prayers. God, please do this. God, please do this. And if we can do that, I believe God is going to respond. I think he's honored in that. I think sometimes he just waits for us to do things like that. Like, you can't overwhelm the Lord, but just say prayer after prayer after prayer, and not as repetitious, you know, vain sayings, but from the heart. God, would you please do this? Would you please heal? Would you please save these people and be consistent? And I think God's going to do a powerful work. Not only should we pray publicly, but go back to Matthew chapter 6. We should pray privately. Matthew chapter 6. First thing we'll see, and if you're on your way, stop at Mark 1:35. First thing we'll see about praying privately is that it is modeled for us. Mark 1:35, and then we'll jump over to Matthew 6:6. We have an example, we've got a model, and that's in the Lord Jesus. And in Mark 1:35, it says, Mark 1:35 says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there Jesus prayed. So Jesus, a couple things we see here is, first thing is that there's a timing to it. He got up early in the morning. This is like a first fruits, and he dedicates that time to the Lord, to the Father, and he's praying to him, and he's lifting up those prayers. He's staying connected with God in heaven, with his Father in heaven. And he gives us this wonderful model. First thing in the morning, we should get up. So I heard a story recently that one man, Ravi Zacharias was telling this story. He was saying that he was about ready to go for 5 weeks to like India or something and minister. Before he left, one of his friends said, when are you leaving? He says, tomorrow around noon. He says, I've got to see you before. And so Ravi says, it's really tight. He says, I have got to see you before. You name it, and I'm there. He says, okay, meet me at 7 o'clock, and I can meet you. I can eat with you and at this pancake place for a half an hour. So they go to this pancake place. He says, Ravi, and he tells him the story. He goes, the Lord told me to pray for you, and while I was in bed, and this, his friend said, I lay in bed for a half an hour, and I just wait. He says, I don't get up, and I don't do anything. I pray. And I say, Lord, I'm just going to stay silent for 30 minutes, and I'm waiting for you to speak to me. And he said, he just has learned to be patient for the Lord to speak to him. And then in that solitary place on the bed, the Lord began ministering to him. And he says, make sure you go back to Ravi and you tell him that which has afflicted him is now going to be, he's going to be set free from. And so he was talking about sufferings, and it fit really, I might share it on Sunday morning. It fit really well with the sufferings we're going through in the book of Revelation. But he goes, and then the Lord gave me this word, and I don't understand. He goes, 3, 4, 5. Ravi, does 3, 4, 5 mean anything to you? And Ravi said, you're not going to believe this, but that does. Because the guy's like, I have no idea what 3, 4, 5 means. He goes, my back is fused together. He goes, I've got steel rods going up my back, and they're the lower lumbars. Spine vertebrae 3, 4, 5 are put all together, and he says, and it causes me excruciating pain. And he said that man got up at that point, put his hand on Ravi's lower back, and began to pray for him. He goes, I actually felt like something. He goes, I've had people pray for me a lot of times for my back before, but something happened. And he said, from that point on, he said, I always travel with a companion, so they take the suitcases, and they put him in the overhead. And he said, here I am, like, you know, putting things up. And he said, I didn't even realize that I wasn't going through any pain. And he goes, there was just that. He says, I've learned to be patient in suffering, because there's a time that God will say, I foreordained this suffering for you because I'm doing a work. And at this time, Ravi's was, it was done. And from that point on, he says, I haven't had pain since. He goes, I have to be careful, but I still do some things like lifting luggage where I probably shouldn't, but I, you know. But the Lord gave this guy a word, and he was in a solitary place. I think we need to find our solitary places and go to the Lord and say, God, I'm open. That is one of the hardest disciplines I think of. I think prayer is already difficult, but then quiet prayer, like, God, speak to me, and you wait. I don't live in a culture that rewards waiting. And yet that's what the Lord says. Just wait, wait. So that's the first thing we see, that he rose early before daylight. He went to departed to a solitary place, and and it says there he prayed. He was by himself. He was praying privately. He modeled that for us. The second thing, now, if you're there in Matthew 6, if not, turn there very quickly. And this, I think this is the last verse that we're going through tonight, so we can get to prayer. I'll refer to one other scripture, but I won't take you there. So in Matthew 6:6, many of you guys know this and have heard this and everything, but it's rewarded. And God specifically gives us the command to pray privately. And in Matthew 6:6, it says this, but you, when you pray, he's speaking to his disciples, right? He's speaking to us, but you, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. So he's talking to masses of disciples, not just those apostle disciples. He's talking to believers, and he's talking to you and to me. And he says, and when you pray, right? Verse 6, do not pray like the hypocrites. I should have read verse 6, but verse 5 says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward, right? And then verse 6 comes in. This is the verse I meant to direct you to. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly or publicly. So I'm sharing with you the point of praying publicly first, so that we understand public prayer is honored prayer. Public prayer is biblical. Here, so that it's not misunderstood, there should also be private prayer. But this private prayer doesn't supersede public prayer. We should have both. We should have private prayer tomorrow morning. We get up and we pray to the Lord, but we should also have tonight corporate prayer. And so what he's saying here is, as part of this Sermon on the Mount, is when you pray publicly, I'm going to honor this. And what is said in secret is honored openly. The Christian's duty of private prayer has a public reward. In this culture, I'm almost done, but in this culture, every Jewish house had a place, a private place for prayer. Remember when we were studying through the book of Daniel, we were in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, and it says that Daniel, Daniel went to the upper room, kind of like that, and he opened up the doors and he prayed towards Jerusalem. He lifted his hands, and they knew this is, even though it was the private place in his house, people knew they could catch him praying there because that was what his custom was. But he knelt down on his knees three times a day, and he prayed and he gave thanks before God, which was his custom since his early days. And so we too need to have those private areas. I shared on Sunday, I like to start off praying when it's dark. I get terribly distracted. This morning was another morning where I was distracted in the dark, and so I just took the prayer list out. I like to pray from memory. I'm picturing these different prayer requests on the piece of paper that I've written on. That works for me. This morning, I couldn't get past the first one without thinking about work, without thinking about all these different things, and I thought, okay, I need to just get up and focus, and then I just committed that time to the Lord, and it was a blessed time of prayer. But do you have that? I'll end with this. Do you have a private place to pray? Do you have a prayer closet? Some people would say, right? One more thing, and then we'll go to prayer. When we moved out here from California, California's got closets that are about like this, right? And then you come out here, and the closets are like a small room in California, right? I mean, they're big. And I remember when we first moved out here, and it wasn't a big house, but we had the first two houses. Every house we've been in just about has had that. But the first two houses, we were able to put a futon in one of the rooms. And Monica, like, this is her prayer closet. So the first house we went to, she got a chair. She got, like it was like a total setup. It was a closet, but it was her prayer closet. And she just prayed that the next house we put, it was right underneath the staircase, and we put a futon mattress there. And It was great for hide and go seek too, by the way. But it was just a sweet place where you could just be private, and it was, you know, not a place of interruptions. There wasn't a phone there. It wasn't. Generally, the kids didn't go to those areas, and so we need to find those areas. And it could be in the shower. Or, you know, I don't know where it would be for you. You know, it could be in the car. But we need to find, you know, that private place. Where is that private place for you? And then what is said in secret, you have to know that God's going to honor and reward publicly. He's going to bring it out in the open and say, and that's, I think that's when we're praying and God says 3, 4, 5. And you're like, I don't understand this. And then you go and you pray for somebody and you give them a word and they're like, they know exactly what it is and it's miraculous. And then you see a healing. I think that's what a reward, you know, that God would give us, that we could pray for people and things would happen. So, don't despise the day of small beginnings. It might seem like there's not a whole lot moving on. And I'm not saying every morning we're going to get the 3, 4, 5 message from the Lord. But you just got to be consistent. Just keep praying. And then God's going to come in and he's going to give us words. And we might really recognize it or we might not totally recognize it. And then we share something and it might just blow people away. So I want to encourage you, know your place. Pray corporately and pray privately.